You're listening to the Heroes Podcast Network.
Good morning, friends. You're tuned in to episode 107 of Gamer Heroes, the weekly show where we talk about news, reviews, and anything else happening in games today. My name's Cam Koenig. With me, as always, is my boy, Thomas Egan. Thomas, how you doing?
Man, I'm doing good.
I'm glad you are, because I am just phoning it in today. I am
That's
beat,
all right.
Dude.
We're going to have a short and sweet episode, or at least a casual episode.
Yeah, like, we both, I showed up to record at your place, and we definitely don't plan the show out as much as we probably should.
You know, I think we intend to.
We do. And then just shit happens. And
like, oh, boy.
Yeah, like, we're just so busy with other things. We get here on, like, Monday night, and we're like, okay, so what are we going to talk about this week? And, yeah. Oh, yeah. But, yeah, this one's definitely going to be a little bit more casual. A little, I don't want to say phoned in, because we're both just, we just wanted to hang out.
So here we are. Look, cat's out of the bag. I used that one last week. It's back.
Well, it can't be phoned in because this is an in-person podcast.
Mm, phone in is down the road.
Yeah, yeah, that's right.
actually, I am looking forward to trying recording online because I listen to a bunch of podcasts that do that, mm-hmm. and I don't realize it until somebody says it. They're like, oh, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
the call.
Like
Waypoint
Radio
this call.
Is yeah. probably the one that I would assume you're talking about because they yep. refer to it as this call. And like, I'm like, oh, yeah. The
that
same way
makes sense. You guys usually have like four people on each episode. It's a lot more practical to do online.
Yeah.
Even if you have a studio.
I've been like guesting on other shows and doing my other show with my friend Nate. Like we record online because he's in Nebraska. That is not here.
No, and meeting up would be hard.
Right. And that's been working great. We just like both record our own audio and just mix it up and just sync them together. Excuse me. Dr. Pepper's fighting back. Anyway, this is a podcast about video games, I guess.
It is.
That's a little inside baseball, but.
There's been a lot of stuff in the news the past like week or so.
There sure has.
And we're not going to talk about it because we are not fit to talk about that stuff. You probably know
so
what we're
tired.
Talking about. Yeah,
I'm just so tired. I can't do it.
Yeah, there's just a lot going on, a lot to unpack, and we are not the people to do that. And the point of this podcast isn't to dive into those kinds, heavier issues. Are they worth talking about? Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Are they worth talking about on this show? Probably not.
Yeah, there are people out there who absolutely have, I don't want to say that their opinion is more valid than ours, but I would say that they are more educated and have like looked into it a lot more, and I don't think that we could bring that to the table. We are not experts in this particular thing, and
we just
other
be two white dudes shouting into some microphones,
right? Which, you know, there's enough of that out there.
There are. So we want to focus on what we usually do, light stuff, more uplifting stuff, especially if we're gonna do just a
speaking of light
episode.
Stuff
oh.
Destiny 2 is still real good.
That was a good segue.
Thank you. I was pretty happy with that. It's good. I know I just keep ranting and raving. I feel like as much as you talk about Apex Legends and I give you shit for that, like I sure have been just like on Destiny's bullshit since about June this year.
Hey, until people start complaining, like you gave me all more than I deserved on Apex, and I can, you know, keep a lid on it for now. I'm here to listen to the Destiny stuff. I haven't played Destiny 2 at mm-hmm. all until this past weekend.
Yes, yeah.
Or last week sometime, and I every once in a while would hear coverage about it. So it's a 4-year-old game, right?
Destiny 2 is 4 years old now, I think.
I think it was from 2016,
like
maybe. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
I think it was 17, so I think it's 2 years old.
Okay.
Destiny as a whole, I think it's 5 years old now.
Yes, I do know that because, 2014 is when Destiny 1 came out. I did play Destiny 1, I even played the beta. Had a good time on it, went up to the raid, didn't play any further past that. So when I booted up Destiny 2, it takes your old characters, levels them up to 750, whatever that means, because I have no point of reference. It leveled up my main character and the character that I don't even know if he could have been a level 1 for all I know, but now he is ready to go. And I booted it up, and on my warlock, just because I wanted to see, it said, hey, you, here's what you did in Destiny 1. And it did this little recap, including the raid I beat, which is Vault of Glass, the first one, Vault of Glass. And it even showed the fire team I was with when we did. I thought that was cool. Of course, I don't know any of those people. It was a random group. But I thought that was a cool... I thought that was a cool thing. I like the intent of it, which is just like, hey, remember your pals? And even though I didn't remember my pals, I know that other people booted that up.
I know a lot of people had, like, that was a really cool emotional bit for them, like, whenever Destiny 2 started.
I was not expecting it.
That was the first thing that you see when you boot up. It's just like, oh, hey, remember this cool shit you did? And it, like, frames it in this really kind of triumphant way that I'm like, all right, hell yeah.
It's good.
I got none of that. I started with Destiny 2.
Well, you know, I didn't realize until a few weeks ago that you hadn't played Destiny 1. You probably told me, and I just forgot. But with as excited as you've been with D2,
it's a good game.
I guess I just assumed that you had played the first
one. And that's a totally fair assumption. Like, as much as I am just, for lack of a better term, sucking Bungie's dick over here, like, I know that at the time, like, I had a lot of friends who were very into Destiny 1, and they were like, you should totally pick it up. Like, I remember... right after, like, I think the Destiny 1 Legendary Edition had been out for a while. It was sitting at GameStop for $7 fucking. And that was, like, everything up to, I think, Rise of Iron. This was, like, right when Rise of Iron got announced. And I'm like, I don't know. And, like, at the time, I wasn't really playing a whole lot of games. So, like, that was something that I totally could have, like, fit into my schedule and kind of gotten all wrapped up in that. But, man, I don't know. There was just something. I felt like there was too much of like, oh, well, I'm just not going to get caught up, or oh, well, they're probably just going to do a Destiny 2. And then sure enough, they fucking did.
And also, I mean, you said that was $7, but anytime they come out with new content, that's a new stuff. The barrier to entry on that stuff is kind of high, but it feels high is the most important part.
So,
and as like an MMO,
right,
that they would never call that until they split from Bungie split from Activision.
Like, hey, it's an MMO now. Please play our MMO.
Before, you know, you're playing an MMO, and if there aren't enough people playing, you're going to have trouble. And it's not really, are there enough people, but it's, are your friends playing? Do you know people who are playing? Because that's what you want from a social... Mm-hmm. A social game like that.
Totally.
You don't just want to have fun and enjoy the content. You want to share all that stuff with your friends. Even if you're not playing together, to be able to share it.
Right.
To talk about it.
Right. I've been... A lot of my friends lately have been streaming Destiny 2, which is awesome. And, like, I don't...
I want to say, man, that game... I started the OG content, the mm-hmm. release content.
Yeah.
That game is beautiful.
It is absolutely gorgeous. Like, I think Destiny, specifically Bungie, has maybe some of, like, the best skyboxes in the fucking business.
Skyboxes?
Like, how if you look up to the sky and just see how, like, everything looks, like, especially on Titan, holy shit.
There were a couple cool... They really like to put spaceships up front and center where you, like, come around a bend. You're like, holy shit, look at the spaceship. And I feel like that stuff, especially with the traveler being so iconic. If you've never played Destiny, that's the big thing. It looks like a moon, you know, but that's no moon.
Yeah.
And gee, I wonder where that, you know, the inspiration came from. But they really do a kick-ass job of framing... Hey, look at that thing really far up in space where even when you're fighting on the ground, whether you're on Earth or anywhere else, you always have this sense of, oh, right, I'm in a space age world.
Totally.
So there's this grandiose scale.
Or even if you go to like, the Earth, the EDZ, I forget what the
European
dead zone. That's right. European dead zone. I wanted to say like Earth demilitarized zone or some shit, but
they're like, sorry, no weapons here. When the aliens come down, they're like, hey, camp, follow the rules.
Sorry, y'all. Like, even just like looking off into the sky and like seeing out in, I think it's called the Dark Forest, which you can't actually go to except for story missions, which you can't do now because they just give everybody every subclass.
What do you mean?
So originally, whenever you played Vanilla Destiny 2, you started with one subclass and you had to go through and unlock
that's
them
right.
Because the plot of the Red War, nobody has fucking powers.
I booted up my Titan and I've listened to some coverage of Destiny 2 since it went free to play, which of course is why I jumped on.
Yeah.
Because it got cross save and all this stuff. I don't think I realized it when I first played, when I did like the tutorial, so it's not like I got very far. But now that I'm actually poking around, I realize most of the things I'm doing are based off of my knowledge of Destiny 1 the game is not very helpful.
It is not very helpful. So the other day, I had my friend Laura come over, and she's like, yeah, Destiny looks cool. I'm like, hey, do you want to just start another character? I only had my Warlock up until that weekend. Mm-hmm. She's like, yeah, I'll roll a character and just check it out. And you start a new character, you get like the intro section from Destiny 1 with the Cosmodrome and like your ghost resurrecting you, and just find a gun, get out of there, fallen walker falling everywhere. And first of all, like, I have never played Destiny 1 except for the Destiny 1 alpha on PS3. And I am surprised how much of that I remember.
Yeah.
Like, it is like burned into my brain, mm-hmm. which is fucking weird.
When I hit that tutorial up, I was like, oh, this is just like the original one.
Totally.
And I started walking through it, I'm like, oh, this is
it's
the original
just
one.
The original.
And
yeah.
There were things where I was like, oh, I would turn around a corner and be like, oh, I know what's over here. And sure enough, it was mm-hmm. exactly right. What I remember. So that is a testament to like memorable level design and stuff. Mm-hmm. When I was in the open area, of course, it's pretty segmented off because I was just starting. Mm-hmm. But I remembered all that stuff. I remembered
totally.
Very specific things. And something Bungie, I think, has always been good at, even from Halo 1, which is, I would consider Halo 1 the first, like, what I considered to be an open world game. It is not an open world game.
Sure.
But when I played that, I felt like I was walking through an environment that I could really explore. Mm-hmm. Like, it allowed me to go places that I didn't need to go. But the fact that it let me and there was stuff around, like, I felt like I was actually exploring.
Yeah.
And it was just this great sense of wonder. And the same thing that Bungie's good at, this grand scheme. Everything feels so big.
Totally.
But it doesn't feel empty, which is crucial.
That's a new thing. Well, I mean, Vanilla Destiny 2 was kind of rough in terms of, okay, well, we finished all the content and we finished the raid. What's up? And mm-hmm. then, like, Curse of Osiris is just not good, like, objectively. It's just not good.
I've heard people say that.
It is not great. Warmind is
better. Should I
better.
Skip it? Is it even worth playing?
Not really.
All right. I guess there's enough game that
there's
it's not like
so
I'm
much
skipping.
Game. I would do Warmind. Warmind's pretty interesting.
I'm probably going to finish the Red War stuff.
Yeah, you should definitely finish that. The Red War's pretty good. I like the Red War.
So the Red War is like the,
Red
hey,
War
I just booted the game up for the very first time.
Yes.
Oh, God, everything's under attack.
Right, right. So, like, I was very... It was weird seeing my friend Laura play through that stuff. And she's also like not somebody who is like very experienced with first person shooters on a console, which is fine. That game is not super friendly to you if you are not familiar with how an FPS works. Because
yeah,
like they straight up like
makes a lot
throw
of assumptions.
You in the shit in that first mission. It's like, OK, cool. So you just kind of got through this rough area. Here's a fucking tank. Have fun.
Yeah.
But like once you
yeah,
get to the tower, it's like,
yeah.
Okay, well, your quest, it doesn't actually set you immediately going towards like the legacy content. It's just kind of provided as an option.
I couldn't tell that it was trying
to
make me go anywhere.
Right.
I told you, I can't remember if this was on mic or not, but I just happened to go straight to the shipmaster who mm-hmm. had those quests totally by accident.
Yeah.
I was just like, and I basically did like spin the bottle. I'm like, I'm going to go this way.
Right. And it basically gives you a bunch of options and like kind of sort of half-ass explains how the quest system in Destiny works and how like mm-hmm. oh, there's quests, there's also bounties, which are like mini quests. There are
I heard Brad Schumacher at Giant Bomb being like, oh yeah, there are bounties and quests and missions
and there's challenges. Yeah, like
yeah.
It oh, fuck.
It's a whole thing. But yeah, I will say, like, boiled down, there were several times where I was only getting by the assumed knowledge that the game had of me. And mm-hmm. I did have that knowledge because I played Destiny
right.
1. But boy, it sure wasn't making it.
Well,
it's just a barrier to entry.
Totally.
You know?
I was basically the way that it sets up the beginning of that game, starting a new character, is you get there and it's like, okay, cool. Go talk to the gunsmith. Okay, you go talk to the gunsmith. And it's like, all right, cool. You just got a better gun from him. Great. Awesome. It raises mm-hmm. your power level up. And it's basically just kind of a way of saying, hey, the end game of Destiny is to just make your number go as high as possible.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Okay, great, cool. Like,
yeah, because it goes from 750 to 751.
Yeah, right.
So it's just like, oh, okay, that's incremental.
Right, right. And before you hit 900, it's really fast to get your level up. I'm at like 922 now, I think.
Yeah.
And it's just like you have to constantly grind out the powerful rewards to get your number like up by one or two a week.
All right, so first of all, actually, I meant to say this earlier.
Okay.
I know that somebody heard me say that Halo 1 was big and didn't feel empty.
Yeah.
I know that a lot of people think that game was way too empty.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to shout that out because I'm aware of it. I love that game. It's not totally rose-colored glasses.
Tell him, Thomas. No, fucking tell him.
I actually saw a thread this past week where somebody specifically said, they're like, yo, so like, is Halo 1 just boring? And I saw that, and my knee-jerk reaction was like, what are you talking about?
The fuck is wrong
with you? And I
was like,
okay, I got to check myself, because I can't just go in here just because my nostalgia is clouding my vision here.
Just walk in and be like, hey, man, what's up? Go fuck yourself.
So I wanted to make sure that that was out there, because that's a real thing. I don't want Halo 1's density to be the measurement with which I measure Destiny 2. So Destiny 2, so I just booted it up.
Mm-hmm.
I have several friends who, I think I have four friends who are going to pick up the game because it's free, just like I did.
Sure.
Two of those friends are not first person shooter players, like pretty much full stop. They don't play any shooters at all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm excited about that.
That's going to be rough for them, I think.
Yes, it is. And I hope that Bungie's first thing, of course, a lot of this content, a lot of Shadowkeep,
mm-hmm.
had been in development before the Activision break, and you can't change this stuff on a dime at
right,
all.
Right. Game development is fucking hard.
Yeah. But I, as going with just what I've seen from the game so far, what I vaguely know about the game, and the fact that I have friends like me who are going to walk in either as blind or more blind than me, I really hope Bungie can soften the edges on the intro to that game.
I would really like to see that too, because it's a pretty rough onboarding for a new character.
Dude, and you only get one first impression, and totally. If people come in and they're confused, that's it.
Totally. And I went through, and granted, I also like your quote level, which is like your season level now, which is essentially a battle pass, which I love, by the way. I think that's a really great system of leveling. And also every single like rank in it is always 100,000 XP. It's never any higher. The higher you go, it's just always 100,000 XP, which is really
Apex
fucking nice.
And I like it because it's never like, oh, the further you get, the harder, the slower it's going to be.
I think Fortnite did that, and it just really, it kind of
it
made me not want to play.
Right,
because if, so like each bounty that you turn in, you get experience for, typically, or like a quest gets completed or something like that. Or you complete like a fucking Gambit match or like a Crucible match, and you essentially get more experience, and like it moves up. It still feels rewarding, but it still feels like I'm having to work at it, and it's like just enough out of reach to where like, okay, well, I could probably knock out these five bounties and just get another level. Oh, okay, well, I did that and also like completed a milestone, so now I'm like 75% to the next one. And
so I may
this
as well.
Game is a nightmare for my ADHD. Holy shit, I love it so much. It's a big fucking problem.
In WoW, I talked Jimmy Hart's ear off about this this past weekend. I'm playing a lot of WoW, but I figured out how to use the economy mm-hmm. to make a well, what is to me a lot of money,
right,
very slowly but consistently and with low effort. So I found a way. I've crunched all these numbers where I check the market. If numbers are below these amounts, I buy them up and I craft stuff and then I sell it to the vendors.
Mm-hmm.
It's boring, but I like the feedback loop I get from it.
Totally.
Because it's just varying degrees of how much profit do I make, because I will literally never run out of stuff to make because the numbers will always be below that threshold. It's just a matter of like, where am I going to set my standard? And that loop of it never ends, because even if I logged on for 24 hours straight, I would never run out of stuff.
Right.
Man, that makes it really tough for me.
Totally.
To totally just not be on WoW, because I'll do that while like in between games, Apex and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because I wouldn't say that I'm like not playing the game. I'm definitely not leveling up, because you know, as you level up, it gets slower, right? So you know, it's no battle pass thing.
Sure.
You know how a traditional RPG
works, right?
But I'm doing this grind so that I can have cooler shit.
Mm-hmm.
So like, basically, I'm tricking out my characters so that whenever I roll into something, I'm already pretty geared up,
right.
And I like that. So like, the feedback loop of the money making while I'm playing other games feels really good, but It's so hard for me to like not pull up my laptop next to me and be like, all right, time to
totally
grind out some vendor money.
Right. And I've just been, so one thing you can also do is for like 3,000 glimmer, which is kind of fucking nothing once you have enough glimmer, because the cap is 250,000, which is basically like the main currency you use essentially to buy quests. That's really all you use it for now.
That's a funny idea.
And so like it just drops so often, and like some bounties will just give you more fucking glimmer. But I'm
always...
Do you
wish that they would raise the cap? Do you ever...
The cap raised.
Hang out
The cap was at like 100,000 or 50,000 like before this update, and they raised it 200,000,
oh,
and people
wow.
are just still sitting at that cap.
I remember in D1, I was just like, I'm not even rich and I'm sitting at this cap, like, because
totally.
It wasn't glimmer that was holding me back. And so I'd find reasons to use it. I think you could use it to like gamble for items or engrams or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now they have like, while, there's like a whole bunch of currencies. They don't, man, they just don't do a good job of explaining a whole lot of it. And that's a bummer. That game is really, really deep. And I like you said earlier, I'm really hoping that they do kind of soften the edges of that onboarding a little bit. Cause I went through and started another character. So I now have a warlock, a titan, and a hunter. I really still just play the warlock, but one of the nice things about the season level, I know we're just kind of all over the fucking place, but who cares? One of the nice things about that quote battle pass or like your season rank is once you get to a certain point, you unlock this season artifact. I think it's like rank 7 or whatever. So it's like still pretty early on. And
how many ranks? Is it 100 or what?
There's 100. Yeah. So like 100 is, there's always going to be like an exotic and an exotic quest tied to it. I think that's what they're like setting up for this one. And 100 is, I think, always going to be an ornament for that exotic, which is great. Cool. So the, trying to get the words right here. So there's like a season artifact that you get. That's kind of like a passive that essentially allows you to like spec points into it, and it's like skill tree esque where you can like cash in like, oh well, I got this much experience, so then I got enough to redeem for one of the mods that I can, like a special mod that I can assign to any of my armor for like a new cost, like one cost or two cost in the new armor system, which is, I could talk about that for like another fucking hour. But another perk of that is, in addition to unlocking more like mods that you can attach to your stuff, it also turns into a passive power boost. So right now, because of like how much I have like invested in like experience and getting my battle pass rank up higher, I now have my base level of like, I think my base level is like a 915 or something like that, but I have a +7 to my power just passively because of my artifact. So it's actually 922.
Does that expire? That does make sense. Does that expire at the end of the season?
It expires at the end of the season, but there's still like 65 days less than the season.
I don't understand why you would have a temporary light level. Like, what's the... I understand like the rank. I get that part.
Yeah.
But why make the rank correspond to a temporary light level? Like, does that change where you matchmake? Does it change... You know, because I imagine, all right, I have 917 plus 100. I max this sucker out. Now I can go into the raid and I'm going to kick ass. But
well,
then
I think
the
most it goes is like +12, something like that. But still, like, I get what you're saying.
The idea of like, you know, it's like when you're old enough to drink, right? The day before you're legally able to drink and the day after, they're no different.
Sure.
It's just a thing. So like, you know, it's like this day I have +12. Light level, and then the next day you're like, oh, I'm weak again.
Yeah.
As if,
no, yeah,
you know.
I totally understand that. I don't know. I know most of the stuff that you are match made into, power level doesn't matter, or it's like a cooperative thing, like a strike, which does not matter kind of even more because you're just fighting enemies or whatever. But yeah, like the Iron Banner is coming up, which is totally power level based crucible.
Okay.
And I am interested to see how that kind
the
of
Iron
plays
Banner,
out.
I like
yeah.
that. All
the
right.
new armor, fucking hot, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, Cam.
Yeah.
Let's dial this back.
Okay.
Because usually you're the one who has to focus me.
Great.
I have questions as a new player.
Okay, hit me.
And I know there are going to be a lot of other people like me who are going to have questions. And obviously the game's not in a big hurry to answer these.
Sure.
So let's say, so I just booted the game up. I'm
yes.
level 750.
Mm-hmm.
So I've got the legacy content.
Yes.
I'm going to do this just because I like story, right? I started the Red Dawn stuff.
Red War.
The Red War.
Yep.
Sounds like I should skip the Curse of Osiris.
Yeah, just stuff. Don't even fucking bother.
And then, so there are three total. So then the other one is
Warmind. Warmind, yeah.
Is Warmind Rasputin stuff?
Yeah.
Cool.
Which is neat stuff. Like, that's a cool thing to dig into.
Yeah. That's like the main chunk of lore of like, I mean, I don't want to go down the path here.
We can't.
And it won't make people who don't know anything about this stuff will be like, right. I can't listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay. So I boot the game up. So I'm going to do those mm-hmm. two legacy quests. Mm-hmm. And then after that, let's say I complete both of those. Where does that start me? So like, I don't even know what the game wants me to do, mm-hmm. like mainline. I know it points me to it. I actually know I could click it and follow that.
Right.
But if I started playing that, how far can I go without buying anything?
So basically it's in terms of like all of the legacy content you can play for free. So like those three campaigns you can play for free. The Forsaken campaign you do need to pay for, which honestly I recommend. It is, I would say probably it actually is the best campaign in Destiny 2. Hands down. You can play, I think, everything in the Crucible. You can do the Iron Banner, like all the seasonal events. You can do...
let's actually mm-hmm. talk about that, because
okay.
besides the legacy stuff,
yes,
I am most interested in the PvP.
Okay. Then you're fine. I think that all is free to play.
So it's all free to play. Okay, so if I go to do the Crucible mm-hmm. and any of the PvP available to me...
Yes.
When I start that up, how does it match me with people? Is that off my light level? Do you know?
So regular Crucible, light level straight up does not matter.
Okay.
Iron Banner definitely will. And I think that tries to keep you...
Because that's
like
a harder rank, right? Like you straight up have a number as you climb. Am I misremembering
that? So there is like a separate, like, I think it's called a Valor rank for Crucible. And I think it tries to match you around people similar to that. But it also, I think, prioritizes like connection. Since it ultimately does not matter like what your power level is, you can go in with a 750 gun against somebody who has like level capped, like high end shit. And if you outplay them, then they die.
I do like that.
It is great. Yeah. I actually really enjoy Destiny PvP and I don't really care for a lot of PvP stuff.
Yeah.
Iron Banner, I don't know if it prioritizes around your light level. I know you still get your Valor rank and everything like that, but
if I do want to properly level up, mm-hmm. let's say I want to buy Forsaken after yes. I do this legacy stuff, can I still like get good loot and stuff from PvPing? I remember
totally.
In Destiny
totally.
1
yeah.
you could.
You can up until, I think up to level 900, loot has a pretty good chance of being higher than your current light level.
Cool.
Or after 900 is like yeah. the quote soft cap. And then you have to go for like your weekly challenges that reward powerful gear or do like really high end level shit like the raid or like a raid rather or like a nightfall strike or something like that.
Then like the other like main question I have. Mm-hmm. So with exotics, of course, there are like
yes.
a lot of guns. It's not like Borderlands level. Mm-hmm. But
there's a lot
of guns. If I went on there and I found one way or another a quest for an exotic, which yes. is. I think they had those in Destiny 1. Cannot remember. Mm-hmm. If my buddy joined, if he started playing the game after me, levels up to where I am I able to like share that or anything? Or would I be like, yo, hey, come with me. Mm-hmm. You're pretty much only here to help me out.
That's pretty much what it is. Okay. So exotic quests are tied to, I think, that character, because I have a few that I don't have on other characters. There are certain...
But you could share the exotic between characters with your bank or whatever, right?
Sure, you can just put it in the vault once yeah. you get it unlocked, and that's totally fucking fine. Like your quests and everything that you have are really just tied to you. There's no way to, like, share that stuff. There are certain things that will track, like, certain kills that your fire team gets. So, mm-hmm. like, there's, I think, one pinnacle weapon quest. I think it's a Vanguard one, so it's, like, strike-based. I believe that there's something on there that says like, okay, well you need to get like this many like void kills, but it tracks how many that your whole fire team does, which mm-hmm. is really nice because like one of the more frustrating things I've run into about Destiny. And I think it's just the way that it works is, and I'm like kind of guilty about this myself, which I don't feel great about because I did this yesterday, literally today, but I also had to run and record the show. Basically like you'll hop in. And you won't be playing optimally because, oh, well, I got a bounty for 10 grenade launcher kills in this strike. And the moment I encounter any sort of hardship, in my case, the hardship was, oh, it's 6:30. I need to leave. I just quit.
Yeah. Does it refill? Do people pop in if they queue for a...
Totally. It doesn't like leave you as just those two people in your fire team.
Yeah, that would be the
worst. You can join in at a certain point. Like, I've hopped into strikes from matchmaking that are just the boss of the strike.
Yeah.
Which, cool. Great. Like, yeah. Yeah.
That stuff's cool. If we want to like kind of halfway wrap this up, because I am interested in playing.
Yes.
I'm interested in playing more. And a lot of that is attributed to, I checked out the My Name is Bife lore video.
God, what a good fucking video. That 4-hour one?
Yeah.
Man.
So he was our hero of the week a while ago. And,
it's only like 2 weeks ago.
it probably was.
Yeah.
And I checked out his video and he says right up front, he's like, hey, this is a long video. If this isn't like, it's specifically broken up into chunks chronologically, so you can take a break whenever you want, which is exactly what I've done.
Sure.
I usually watch one or two segments at a time. Or you can check out the individual segments. Mm-hmm. And
it's got like nice timestamps and everything. It's like segmented off into chapters, which is great.
The whole thing's a great production.
Totally.
It's
he said he was working on it for months, which I believe.
I totally believe that. And the artwork, the guy who contributed stuff that did original artwork.
I have thought about just like going and buying those prints because they're really good.
Yeah, that's very impressive. Mm-hmm. So I've been watching that. So I've always thought of Destiny as one part guns and one part space magic.
Totally. It's very much space fantasy.
Dude, when
really,
I had no idea, because in Destiny 1, everything, all of the lore, almost all the story, I would straight up say a solid 80%, which is a huge percent.
Huge percent.
80% of the lore was hidden. I say hidden. It was on the grimoires.
You had to go to the website.
You had to go to the website. You had to log off the game
online.
And I was like, man, I love lore and I love Bungie, and I'm not reading that stuff.
Totally.
I'm
totally
not doing
that. Yeah.
Even if, like, as goofy as this is, I would be cool if there was an audiobook companion podcast.
I mean, straight up, what I've been doing is just put his videos on in the background and listen to them.
So, we were talking before the show. I cannot remember anybody's names. The only way that I can remember who we're talking about is the pictures that he has on that video. And based on the pictures, when stuff happens, you know, usually it's like, at the beginning, there were like six people. And then usually by the end of the story, it's like, pretty much, here's the one most important person.
Right, right.
And I'll be like, okay, I can remember this picture and this name. So that's a cool way for me to be able to digest this stuff. Because I'll probably go back again later and only do the audio. Maybe. You know, I'm a podcast connoisseur, so the timestamp or like the length doesn't really bother me.
Right.
But I'm really enjoying that. I will say I did not at all understand just how much space magic
it's all space magic.
I thought Destiny was like, if I had to describe what I thought the lore of Destiny was, I thought that it was like 70% technology and 30%
like it's high the other
fantasy.
Way around.
Dude, it's like 80% magic and 20% like tech magic.
Right.
You know, where it's just like, oh, how does this work? Well, the technology is just really, really, really advanced. This is how it is.
By the way, heads up, that video does spoil Forsaken, just so you know.
I wondered that.
It will.
Well, if that does, then I'm okay with it.
Okay, cool.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
I'm really interested in that. I love lore stuff.
Will love this fucking game then.
Well, it's got me excited. It's funny. I'm sitting there doing that WoW stuff I was just talking about, and I was like, so I was doing that while I was watching the video, and I was like, man, I wish I could do both of these things and be playing Destiny all at the same time.
So, like, something I'm not going to outwardly spoil something, but the way Shadowkeep has wrapped up, and really since it's a live game, is still continuing to go, because there is stuff that is happening weekly. And, like, do you care if I spoil some stuff about Shadowkeep?
Kind of,
okay.
Actually.
Okay, okay.
Because I saw the end of the first mission.
Yes.
And that was a big reveal.
Yes.
And that said, if I was somebody who wanted to go into that fresh, even if that was like 6 months from now, that would really...
Okay,
the impact is there.
That's fair.
The impact is there.
I think that they are setting up something really big. I am just gonna leave it at that, because like if I say like what I want to, it kind of spoils some shit. But
I hear that.
Fuck, man, I'm excited.
Well, they've always, yeah. There's a lot to talk about specifically, not even in just the story of Destiny, but speculation of the story of Destiny.
Oh God, yes. It's so deep and intricate, and oh man, the writing team is. I don't know how much they're getting paid, but it is not enough.
Well, I hope that the influx of players will change that. Mm-hmm. Even free-to-play players like me. I want as many people to play this as possible because mm-hmm. I, above all, just want people to play with. I want to share my games with people. So I really hope they can polish this front end of the free content.
I do too. I think they will. Like, they've been out there saying, like, hey, this is like kind of our ideas behind it. And if it doesn't work, then... You know,
then we'll fix it.
The community is like the only people were like the people they said. I remember leading up to it. They're just like, the only people in charge of Destiny are two people now. It's us and you. Like, and I'm like, yeah, all right.
Oh, that's cool.
Like, and so like I think they're going to make some smart changes. I think that they will probably, with the level of transparency they've shown, I think they will make the right moves and like kind of steer the ship in a right direction. I think it's already headed in the right direction. It just needs a little bit of a course correction to like safely navigate some of the rougher seas that they found themselves into.
Yeah. Cause all it is like, I'm in a position right now where I've never had this many friends, mm-hmm. Be willing to dive into a game or even a genre that they are not accustomed to. I've never had like four people be like, yeah, I could play with you. Like, what? Man, right. It's tough getting totally. More than one person to even say they'll commit to a new game like that, free or not.
Yeah.
So I really want them to do well because I just want to share a game with people.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, let's go ahead and probably stop talking and ranting about Destiny for a little bit and take a quick break.
Let's do it.
And we'll be right back to talk about, I don't know, some other bullshit, I guess.
Hello, this is Ray from the Heroes Podcast Network, and I am here to tell you about Screen Heroes. Do you love superheroes? What about superheroes in film and TV? How about weird rankings like top five lists or maybe three people just arguing about top five lists? Either way, we are the podcast for you. Check us out every Tuesday night live on Twitch or subscribe to Screen Heroes Podcast on iTunes, Spreaker, and Google Play. Now, back to your regularly scheduled podcast.
Hey, we're back. Thomas, I know you wanted to talk about this, the fact that Fortnite's over. It's just done. It's gone forever.
It's done. They're packing
Fortnite,
it in.
Fortnite is just dead. And Epic Games killed it.
They are. So Forkknife is a pretty cool game. Actually, I don't play Fortnite at all.
It's pretty cool.
It's cool. A lot of people like it.
I got really into it for like a month and a half, and I'm like, yeah, I'm good. And then, it's fun. I like Fortnite.
Yeah, I booted up, and I was like, okay, I see what people like about this. Mm-hmm. I don't like the building amount.
Sure.
And that's kind of how that went. So, you know, obviously, Battle Royale's had something for me because I tried out Apex. I'm like, oh shit, this has Overwatch elements. I like, right. Yeah, heck yeah. Anyway, Fortnite just finished their season 10. Their season 10, which, as far as I understand, each of their seasons ends and begins with some sort of map changing event, right?
Yeah, they always like do some really cool live event. Like to get into season 10, there was this like big fucking mech fighting a giant like kind of kaiju creature, and like a lot of people were watching it, and I'm like, this is so fucking cool.
Yeah, and it's just it's on the island.
It was just like in the middle of the fucking map, and then it like damaged some stuff and like changed the map going into the next season, which is cool.
Something fell out of the sky and there were explosions or there were portals and stuff, and they all end up having some sort of persistent effect. So as far as I know, and I sure hope I'm right on this stuff, Fortnite has been played on the same island since release.
Yes.
It's just always been changed, and it's been changed enough that certainly I've never heard anybody complaining that the map is stale.
Yeah, I haven't really heard anybody, like, the people who complain about Fortnite, I mean, a lot of people just complain about it because it's popular.
Right.
But the people who, like, have actual, like, complaints about Fortnite, a lot of them have never been, oh, the map sucks. Like, they keep it fresh, they update it regularly, and, like, a lot of the stuff, and the fact that you can just tear down any fucking building, like, that's kind of a neat thing.
Yeah. So it's all, that game is all about the space that you exist in,
sure,
right? Ages ago, I don't know what season this was, but there was a meteor that started coming down from the sky. There was all sorts of teased stuff, like teased information that people, they didn't data mine it, but people collaborated to be like, to find clues.
Yeah, yeah.
To figure out, what does this thing mean? When will it happen? Like, we noticed that the meteor's getting closer and all that stuff. Well, at one point, that meteor froze in the sky. Somehow, the game, the story, whatever the story is.
There's apparently, like, a Fortnite lore, which is, like, I think that's cool. And they, like, yeah, obviously, like, there are probably a few people very into it.
I bet.
But, like, it's so, like, sprinkled in. It is, I would say, the polar opposite of Destiny, where just everything right. you do has like some intense significance. Mm-hmm. Like the stuff in Fortnite, it totally feels like there's barely anything there, like surface to like medium level. And then you have, basically you have to go online like a grimoire card to like look at like
it's
other
almost
places.
Almost like an ARG.
Right.
Augmented.
Right.
No, wait.
Alternate reality game.
Alternate reality
yes.
game. So, why are we bringing this up? So at the end of season 10, this event happened. This was a few days ago now. We always say it, but we record on a Monday. So it was either 2 or 3 days ago that this event happened in game where all these portals opened up in the sky and there were these rockets and things were flying around. It's this cool event. You should look up a YouTube video of it. Just look up like season 10 ending.
Yeah,
I'm sure
they alluded to the event just being quote the end.
Yeah,
which I'm like, oh, that's good. That's just ominous as grimdark as fuck. Love it.
So these portals open up and it's pretty cool looking. The long and the short is that the meteor that has apparently been frozen in time above the island is unfrozen and it ends up crashing into this kind of like an unstoppable shield kind of thing that's over a part of the map. This is all new to me until I was reading all about it this past weekend. So it hits this shield and there's like this big explosion, but it creates this black hole and the meteor gets sucked in, the ships get sucked in, you and the island get sucked into this black hole.
I was also looking at some stuff about this today, and apparently if you were just sitting at the character select screen while it happened, that got sucked in too. Which I'm like, yeah, cool, great.
That's
just
cool.
Fucking
and
burn it all
time.
Down. Yeah.
So for everyone in the world, the game went down at the same time because everything got sucked into this black
hole. I think
hole.
As of right now, it's still down.
It's still down. So Tuesday is usually patch day for any video game.
I think historically the battle passes or like the new seasons for Fortnite start on Thursdays.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't be surprised if that's when we get that.
Okay.
Like, because they've been alluding to Fortnite season 2 or like chapter 2 is what it's called, which is probably just going to be like a big refresh after all of this stuff.
Well, I bet more than anything else it'll be a new map.
Oh, totally.
You know, they've done obviously great work on the original map on that one island. Mm. But, you know, Apex just came out with a new map. Call of Duty is always changing. I actually didn't realize that they were on the same island until this happened. And I was just like, oh, damn.
Yeah, it's
people
still,
are happy
it's
with,
just
like,
been the same
happy.
Island. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like I said, nobody complains about the map. So mm-hmm. I guess I just never thought about it. But
right.
This is the end. So if you check out any of Fortnite's social media stuff, you will get a live stream of the black hole.
Totally.
Either the black hole or a totally black screen.
Yeah, I think they like deleted all of their like older social media posts. Like everything is just like a black just screen.
They still have retweets, but they don't have any, as far as I can tell, any original tweets.
Yeah.
They wiped everything. Like,
which,
what?
Cool. Awesome.
They, man, like that is commitment. Also, that would be a lot of work. I don't know how you actually do that.
You can. I think there are like tools that you can use that are like, okay, if I have a tweet.
Or
older
they,
than
like,
this time to just kill it.
I feel like Fortnite could just pay Twitter to be like, hey, can we
they've
we
certainly
need this
got
to
the
do?
Money.
Right.
They,
we need
they
to
have the
to
money.
Create a
yeah.
tool to make this happen. So anyway, if you go online in any way, shape, or form and try to look up Fortnite, play the game or anything, all you're going to get is that black hole.
I'm going to look it up right now just to verify.
There you go. And they aren't commenting on it. They haven't released any information on when this will end. Nobody really knows anything. People
still
are trying
down.
To.
Yeah, it is still yeah. just the black hole.
People are trying to like see if there's an ARG in there.
So
they can,
there have been there have been some, like, there were some numbers that I think were, like, showing up in there, and people have, like, deciphered that against some audio logs that were, like, leading up to this event happening, really? Which is something I would not expect to hear about Fortnite, which is crazy and fucking cool. And they, like, deciphered a message, which seems in line. I don't remember what it is because I haven't looked too much into it, but they've, like, deciphered what the message says, and it's, like, kind of in line with, like, the tone of, like, the plot of the island leading up to that. And there was also a leaked trailer, I think, that went out that, like, got shared around today about, like, a new Battle Pass revamp and stuff like that.
They went out of their way to be like, hey, your V-Bucks are safe. Just, like, don't worry about
just
it.
Just chill the fuck out for a second.
Yeah, Sony had when they're like, yo, your V-Bucks are safe. Just contact Epic if you need to.
Just chill.
Yeah, everything's fine.
Just... Man, like, I'm not a huge Fortnite fan. I think it's cool. I think what they're doing here, I respect the fuck out of the balls on Epic to be like, we have the most powerful, like, we have the biggest game in the world right now. It's now down for like 3 or 4 days. What you gonna do about it? And I'm
what are people gonna do?
Yeah.
Like,
that's how you get people's attention. Like, that's how you get more eyes on your product. Cause, like, Apex is in the best spot it has ever been. Mm-hmm. And, like, I would say that is the closest thing that it has right now to competition. Like, PUBG is just kind of its own thing at this point.
Yeah.
But Apex is, like, pulling its own weight very well and, like, exerting its space very well. And Destiny has gone free to play. And, like, that's not the same thing, but you're competing for time at that point. And those are, like, big games that are always, like, competing with each other, all these service games. And that's a really smart way to get new eyes on, like, whatever you're doing. Like, I've seen a lot of people talking
Fortnite in, like, the local news being like, yo, they shut it down.
Right. Like, I've seen a lot of people I know who are just like, I've never played Fortnite. I'm going to hop in and see what they're doing once it comes back online because this is cool. I'm like, man, that's fucking brilliant.
To offer no light at the end of the tunnel. Kind of
to just essentially take your game down, because honestly, like, you have so much fucking money, you can stand to not run Fortnite for like a week. That's insane.
Yeah.
Do you have any clue how, like, obviously way different in terms of it, but like, what if Google was just like, fuck it, Maps doesn't work for a week?
Right.
Like, could you imagine just like, that is the biggest fucking flex you could make on anybody. Like, I don't think it's like really intended to be this way, and I'm probably looking into it way more, but like it is coming across a little bit to me of just like, hey, what's up, EA, Respawn, the fuck is up? See this shit, we're down for a week, fuck you, what you trying to do? And I'm like, oh man, like, that's a weird flex, but okay. But like, it's pretty fucking good flex, you know
it is. I thought about that, and I was like, I wonder if people are switching. Like, I wonder if anybody would switch to Apex to try it out who had only played Fortnite before. And I was like, I wonder if part of that is intentional. Because honestly, to me, as a non-Fortnite player, I like Apex. But Apex is, to me, my entry into the Battle Royale genre. I think the genre is cool. We've talked about it in both of the most recent episodes, where I think that is a genre that is not at all burnt out. I think there is so much creative opportunity in this genre that, like, Fortnite going down, if that gets more people to check out Apex, like, they're both learning from each other. One of them will do something and then the other game will be like, oh, that's a great idea, we're gonna do that too. And I'm for that. I you know, when people are like, oh, they're just stealing ideas, it's like, look, it, like, I don't care if this person, if the game I am playing did it first. I just like that the cool thing is in the game that I play.
Sure. And games don't exist in a vacuum. Like, it's still very much like a creative process, even though there's a lot of like technical and like data stuff around it and like how to keep players engaged. And like, yeah, like, sure, Fortnite implemented respawns after probably in response to Apex Legends. But like, I think that's, they recognize this is a good mechanic, we should implement it too. And I think that's really good, and honestly just keeps each other on their toes. Competition makes these games better.
Yeah.
And like the ones that like can't hang just can't hang, and like it just kind of wasn't meant to be, and that sucks. And there are definitely games that it's a weird thing. Like,
I see this almost as a cool thing, not even just for the black hole being a ballsy move.
Sure.
Or a really cool attention grabbing way to tease, hey, we're about to drop something big.
Totally.
But also, I look at it as this could be an opportunity for people to play these other games. Just like Fortnite, these other games are also free. Mm-hmm. And so when people are just in this ecosystem, I think it's better for everybody. It's better for the publishers. It's better for the players. Mm-hmm. Because really, like, the more people, if I was Fortnite, of course, I'm not. This is like ultra armchair dev stuff I'm about to say. But if I was at Fortnite, I would actually want Apex Legends to be doing great. Because the better they do, the better we can do. Like, if Apex Legends doesn't do well, that's not going to hurt us. We're going to be just fine. But if Apex Legends does something really kick-ass that we haven't thought of, people are going to love it when we bring that to our game as well.
Sure.
And it keeps it spicy. You know, it keeps people interested in all this stuff. So I just think it's cool in a lot of unconventional ways.
Yeah.
This isn't something that you see every day in gaming. Battle Royales as a genre are still pretty new. And Fortnite owns such a huge market of, or a huge share of the market as far as like people's thoughts and eyeballs.
When you think of Battle Royale has like gone from being like the type of genre, well, it's still like the type of the genre, but like it comes from the fucking movie Battle Royale.
Right.
And now it is just like when people say Battle Royale, their mind just goes right to Fortnite. Like it is just like exploded in a way that I honestly don't think a lot of people predicted because...
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. You could say that again.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of this. It's had me thinking about how other different games, how games have teased content before it's actually come out.
Mm-hmm.
When Wrath of the Lich King, the expansion in WoW came out, I didn't realize this happened until I was going back and reading lore while I was playing that expansion. But right before that content dropped, there were some world events where it's like, ooh, outside of the gates of both of the two factions' main cities, there are, you know, Scourge. There's the new enemy that you're going to be fighting all the time. They showed up and they're attacking. And you go out there and you do some quests and you kill them. So it's just a little taste of like, hey, you're about to see these guys a lot.
Sure.
So I saw that part. But what I didn't know is, so I play on the Horde side, which is the orcs in WoW. And what I didn't know is throughout the previous expansion, you find this guy that he's from this lineage of like this big leader or whatever. And you take him from being, he's like super depressed and wimpy. Like he's straight up legit depressed. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I don't want to do anything. And you do this long quest chain where you finally inspire him to like rise up to leadership. Well, he does. And he sucks because all he cares about is strength. And what I didn't know is this expansion content, the like teaser, while this was going on, he challenged the like, and this was an event you could see in the world. I forget how it unfolded, but in the throne room of the main city, he challenged the war chief, Thrall. He challenged the main guy. He was like, I'm going to fight you in battle. And if I win, I'm war chief. And he beat Thrall. He straight up kicked his ass. And this is crazy. This guy's been the war chief for all of WoW and all the first expansion. And he does this. And the only reason that he doesn't kill the war chief in the battle is one of the new enemies shows up for a second and they're like, crap, we have to focus on this threat.
Mm-hmm.
And so like the guy who beat him in combat, he's not like a, you know, at the time he wasn't like a murderer, you know, but he isn't exactly merciful. Well, that was just a cool thing where Thrall got dethroned and that became a whole thing in the next expansion, like in the one that was about to come out. It was like, oh, Thrall dipped out. You know, things are changing, all this stuff. I hope I'm not butchering this stuff. It's been a while since I looked at it. But I didn't realize that it happened, and it set the stage for events that were going to happen way down the line, because the expansion after that, the dude who won in combat ended up becoming like the actual war chief, and he messed everything up, dude. It was some crazy story. And then at the end of that expansion, he was actually one of the final bosses. He was like the villain. So it was this cool arc that all started with it, more or less started with a teaser before the expansion actually dropped. They didn't tell anybody it was going to happen. They were just like, hey, if you find this in the world, here it's going on. And that always stuck with me as such a cool way. The fact that I didn't find it in game was almost cooler, because there was stuff happening in the game. I was like, okay, there's something here. There's some tension. I don't really know. Mm-hmm. And then when I started to discover it, it was like, oh, damn. Like the idea of this kind of being a little esoteric where it was possible to miss it kind of played into how they wanted to tell the story.
Yeah, I can think of, because it's fresh on the mind, I can think of like some really cool narrative threads or like narrative pathways that certain little like under the radar side stories in Destiny 2 go. Like they have room to do some cool shit with some new expansions that focus on, well, let's be honest, not the fucking Hive, which is all right. That's fine. That stuff is always really cool. And like once if you like catch onto that shit or you like see it and start to notice and appreciate it and it eventually does happen, it feels so fucking satisfying.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you really feel invested in it. Not right. Because like you. Because you did anything particular, but you are questing, like you are like working.
Right, right.
In a direction.
Yeah.
But because you feel like it's a payoff where,
right,
like there's this tension, right? You're like, man, I kind of wish blah, blah, blah. Or like, oh, I wonder if this thing's going to come to fruition. Mm-hmm. And you see it bloom, so to speak.
Right.
And you're just like, oh, fuck, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, fuck,
I knew
let's go.
Coming. I'm excited.
There's something, I'll tell you about it off air, but there's a cool thing in Destiny that I've since found out about. And I'm like, oh, shit, that did happen. All right, cool. I'll tell you about it later.
Cool. Well, sweet. I know we're keeping it loose this episode. But,
yeah.
Let's talk about some Google Stadia.
Yeah. Probably not super long. We're running about an hour here, but I mean, we got time.
Let's just cover this all loosey goosey.
Yeah, go for it, man.
So it's the middle of October, and Google Stadia is slated for November. We don't know when in November.
Yeah, that's weird.
Yeah, they have very intentionally not.
It's really, and I'm wondering if, so like the PlayStation 5 stuff just got announced, which I don't think we've actually talked about on the show. It's the PlayStation 5, surprising fucking nobody that it is called the PlayStation 5.
Oh,
and
yeah.
There was a little like clip from like they announced it on the PlayStation blog, which is weird. And like, that's kind of getting to my point, but Jim Ryan, the current like head of PlayStation, was just like, man, it's a relief off my shoulders to finally say it. And I'm like, fucking really? Like, come on, man. Like,
I get it, but also
literally every single person was like, oh, the PS5. Like, come on.
Right.
Well, like, fucking.
Well, surely he wasn't talking about the name. He just was,
he was
like,
talking about the name.
Oh, no.
He says, man, it's finally a relief off my shoulders to officially say that. I'm like, fuck off,
okay,
man.
Okay, wait, hold on. Even with you saying that, I still feel that's him being like, okay, I can finally just confirm, I can say the words out loud. This is a thing that exists.
Well, like, we knew it existed. We knew they were doing a next-gen thing, but it very much came across as like, oh, man, I can finally say that it's called the PlayStation 5. Like, we fucking knew,
like,
dog.
Dude.
Like, come on. Anyway.
That's funny.
Yeah, I'm skeptical of Stadia. I think there's some cool stuff there. Yeah. But like,
yeah, honestly, if it works like the space magic that it sounds like,
right? Which, fun fact, Destiny is on that platform.
then it's gonna be cool.
There's some weird stuff happening in like the games industry lately. Like the fact that the PS5 was technically quote revealed from a blog post and then a Wired article.
Yeah.
Like, I'm wondering if the fact that we haven't heard anything about Stadia is fine. I don't know.
Question
like,
mark? I don't know. What I know is that Google doesn't seem to be confident with releasing more details about the actual platform.
I would like
stuff.
To have had more details by this point, especially if
so
you're like...
We are potentially on paper about 2 weeks out from this.
The thing that really bums me out is that they've been taking pre-orders for a while for like the Founders Edition, and like you can sign up for like other things and buy equipment for that, but it's just like, it's November, it's like, cool, it is as of this recording October 14th,
right?
When in November,
right? This is, yeah, I'm just so nervous that we're gonna hit about November 10th,
mm-hmm,
and Google was gonna say, you know what, we just didn't quite hit the pre-order sales that we meant to. We're scrapping it or something. I think that's a little dramatic.
Sure. They've already invested, I think, a whole lot
of
like money and time and technology into it.
I mean,
they're going to launch it.
I mean, Destiny's on there. Red Dead Redemption 2
is on there. Huge. Yeah.
Huge. So, I don't think they're actually going to scrap it. But I just don't... I am just skeptical with Google's ability to stick the landing on
yeah,
this stuff.
I think that's pretty... That's a fair reaction.
Yeah,
that's a fair take from what's going on.
And that's not a unique opinion either.
Sure.
You're honestly the person who really set me down that path. You're like, well, think about X, Y, and Z. And I'm like, I guess they do.
Yeah,
I guess this is a thing.
I am concerned about Google's history of being like, we've got this awesome thing. We're going to pour everything into it. It's going to be great. 3 months later, we're fucking cutting it. Like, it's just dead.
Shut her down.
Like, there is Google Fiber in like 3 cities now.
Yeah.
And thankfully, we're one of them.
Right. And it's great. But yeah, they were just, it's not working out. Okay, bye.
Right. Like,
man,
right. And granted, that is expensive, but this is going to be expensive. And I'm interested to see the reaction for it. I know people who are like, yeah, I got a Stadia. I'm like, all right, cool. Let me know how it works. Because I've seen people like say that, like, I've seen like the data benchmarks and stuff from like, obviously, I don't think people are actually like beta testing it right now, but it pulls down some data. Like, data caps are a genuine concern.
Yeah. What were those? Do you remember those numbers? Because I did see an article.
Not off the top of my head, but they were really high.
They were really big.
Like, and that doesn't affect somebody like me. We're privileged to have Google Fiber in the area, which means that I have gigabit speeds and no cap, which is great. That's kind of ideal for something like this. That is not everybody, especially in the United States.
Right, because you think about, so the new Call of Duty, I believe, is like 175 gigabytes.
175 gigs, yeah. That's massive.
Huge. Even if you disregard hardware, like a hard drive space, just the amount of data that you just spent, even if it's fast, the number, 175, if you have a 1 terabyte data cap, which is a lot, a terabyte's a big amount.
That's still like a tenth of it.
Well, it's 20%. It's almost
just about,
Well, it's 17.5%.
Well, it's not exactly like 1,000, but yeah, I get what you're saying.
You have a phone. It says
it's around there.
Like
it's just under 20.
So that's a lot.
That's a big.
Imagine if you like for me, I've had to go and delete stuff off my hard drive, not because I don't have space to download stuff, but if I'm playing Apex and I need to go into the PlayStation menu to either send a friend request or start a party, dude, that stuff is frustratingly slow. It's so slow. There will be times where there was one time, I think it took me like 35 seconds because I had my phone out because I sent one invite and it took forever. So I was like, I'm going to time this when I invite the second person. Over 30 seconds.
Yeah. I'm
pull it up. I couldn't even back out.
I'm very excited for the PlayStation 5 with solid state drives, because good lord, like
I would say Destiny 2,
the load times in Destiny are fucking horrible.
Shit, dude.
They are really bad.
I would pull out my phone during the loading screen and then forget that I was waiting for Destiny.
Yep.
Which is definitely a short attention span thing.
Yeah.
But
I'm with you,
dude.
Like,
I mean,
good lord,
nothing breaks the momentum than like a 45 second load screen.
Totally.
Oh my god,
it's not good.
Well, hey, hopefully on Google Stadia,
be
a problem.
I'm sure that will be if you're playing Destiny on PC, it's like boom. Especially if you have a solid state drive, it's just fucking instantaneous.
Right.
Great. A lot of people have moved over to PC.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I'm not gonna do that.
Between PC and PS4.
Shout out to cross save. Totally.
I'm really happy with that. Also, hey, I just want to take 5 seconds to bitch about Apex Legends not having cross save.
Do it. I'm giving you 5 seconds exactly.
Okay, now that I'm on Apex Legends on PC, I feel like I'm wasting my time because my battle pass is on PS4. All right, that's all I have to say about that. It really is frustrating.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks a lot.
That does suck a lot.
I don't even have the other characters. You have to get the currency.
Mm.
I have a million of that currency on PS4.
Man,
I don't even have anything to spend it on.
It is a huge bummer that is the case.
It sure is. All I have to say about
that. Okay, great.
But I'm frustrated about it. But the fact that cross-save exists on Destiny, it also means
I would not be surprised if Destiny eventually goes cross-play also, especially considering PlayStation has been like, hey, anybody can use it now. Like, I think that was kind of like the last barrier for them. I believe they want to do that. But
I want to see more technology that says, hey, you can cross-play together, but we can tell what you're playing on, and we're specifically only going to match you with.
That's what Modern Warfare does, actually.
Yeah, so I've seen that. I want to see that proliferate. I want to see that across
it's something
the
that's,
board.
I think that's what Fortnite does, actually. Like, they were the first ones that I've actually noticed did that for a while. And also, like, they, I think the way that they did their crossplay, because they were the first, I think, big one to do it.
Yeah, I mean, and them and Rocket League, who are both behemoths.
Right. Fortnite, way more so. Like, Fortnite is, like, it, honestly, whenever Fortnite was like, yeah, we've got crossplay with PlayStation, I'm like, all right, cool.
This is
the
it.
Only reason that this is happening is because you guys have enough market share of the world to, yeah. like, boss Sony around, and I don't think they're going to let anybody else do it. I think it was going to keep going, but... Uh-huh. I think the way that works is if you are playing in a party with somebody on a different platform, if you matchmake, it just throws you into parties of people on different platforms. But for the most part, it keeps you in your hopper.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, but yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
And I want more of it. I think it's great.
Totally.
I want to play Apex with my friend on the Xbox 360.
Yeah.
I want to play with my friend.
Xbox 360. Goddamn.
Oh, the Xbox One. That's funny. But I want to do that.
Which
and,
the Xbox does support mouse and keyboard.
I think, I don't know about Apex, but I think the mouse and keyboard, I think you can play that in Call of Duty on PS4.
You can, yeah.
I saw somebody.
Yeah, and it'll just throw you in with keyboard mouse players. Like if you're playing, Giant Bombcast, Jeff Gerstmann plays first person shooters mostly with a controller, and it just lumped him in with console people. I'm like, great, cool.
That's nice.
Great, yeah, that's how that should work.
That is really nice, because... Yeah, I think I'm actually going to try out my controller. Like, a mouse is definitely the way to play a shooter on PC. It really feels dramatically better, but I just like a controller better.
Yeah, me too.
Anyway, hey, let's read this list of Google Stadia games.
Okay.
They've been drip-feeding releases for a while.
Yes.
So, you know, we're potentially two to 6 weeks out?
Yeah, dude, the fuck knows.
Yeah, who knows when this thing's going to be out. But here's the list in alphabetical order. I'm going to read the whole thing. We've got Attack on Titan 2, Final Battle, Assassin's Creed Odyssey. And Odyssey was the one that...
that was the Project Stream test. Yeah.
We've got Baldur's Gate 3, which is an unreleased game.
Yeah,
right
that
now.
Was announced at Stadia. Like, that was the first, I think, big thing that they've announced for it.
Yeah, I remember
cool.
there was
That's
like
great.
A... There were,
other than like Doom is going
to
be on there.
Well, similar
but.
To the meteor or the the black hole from Fortnite. I remember reading about the teasers for Baldur's Gate.
Yeah,
part of it was like they intentionally left some clues, but also people data mined some information, and so they were like, "Oh, we're going to get a new Baldur's Gate a couple days before that came out." So I really like that stuff. So that game's unreleased. Borderlands 3 will be there. The Crew 2. Actually, I tell you what, I'm going to read all the unreleased ones.
Okay.
Just so I don't have to trip all over this.
Cool.
So we've got Baldur's Gate 3. We've got Cyberpunk 2077.
That's right. I forgot
really
they got
that. Really looking forward to that game.
Mm-hmm.
Darksiders Genesis.
Okay.
Destroy All Humans.
Yeah, all right.
Doom Eternal.
Yep.
Get Packed.
Oh, that was that, like, it... Yeah, okay, that was like the furniture moving with friends thing.
Oh, I don't know anything about that.
It's like kind of overcooked, but instead of cooking, you're like moving furniture in like wacky shit. It feels entirely like a complete blatant copy of another game that's already done that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I haven't looked into it too much.
Sounds like a novel idea.
I think you'd enjoy it.
I probably will.
Yeah.
Just Dance 2020.
That's going to be on everything until we die. So.
Absolutely. I think they... I want to look this up, but I think they're releasing that game on the Xbox 360.
They're releasing them on the Wii still.
Oh.
Because, like, I mean, so I many like people that. Still have them, and it,
right.
it's not graphically
it's
intensive. It's really just more songs, you know?
For a family console. We've got Kine, K-I-N-E.
Okay.
We got, no, it's Kine. we got Marvel's Avengers.
Oh, that's right. That is coming to Stadia.
We've got Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Breakpoint, which...
that's already out.
Yeah, this article's from 6 days ago, so that one's already out. Watch Dogs Legion.
Okay.
And Windjammers 2.
Interesting.
Never played a Windjammers game. I
Windjammers is fun. Windjammers is a lot of fun. It's a... You would like it. You just, like,
oh,
sit around
I've watched
and,
it. Yeah.
Oh, it's fucking fun.
I'm way into it.
I'm interested to see how that runs on Stadia. But, like, ultimately, like, I know we... People keep talking shit about the latency. Like, this is obviously going to be something that we're not going to be able to judge until it is really in the hands of people in, like, real world scenarios.
People, like, with the Project Stream, when Stadia didn't have a name yet, you know, it was undercover beta kind of. The fact that the fact that people could play Assassin's Creed Odyssey with not a great internet connection and not have lag, like, that blows my mind, and I actually don't totally understand it. But the fact that people were able to play that in an area that didn't have good internet, that is huge.
So, like, I think that stuff is awesome, and I think for a lot of things, that is really cool and works super well and is very effective. But, like, with something like Windjammers, Windjammers is essentially a fighting game. Yeah. And stuff that requires, like, down to the frame, like, perfect inputs for, like, a fighting game or, like, maybe a very tight Twitch shooter or something like that. Like, those are things that I am skeptical about, just in the fact that I want to see that stuff in the hands of people who have the experience with that stuff running locally to see how those kind of things run. I think they're putting Mortal Kombat 11 on Stadia, and, like, I'm interested to see
on this list.
I'm interested to see how that goes. I am skeptical because fighting games are literally frame perfect. You have to, like, if you drop a frame or if something doesn't feel quite right, whole experience is just out the fucking window.
Right. And you, because you don't have, oh, Mortal Kombat on Stadia, that's a casual version.
Sure.
You know,
like, I played Mortal Kombat 9 on the fucking PS Vita. Like, talk about a casual ass version. But, like, it still ran great because, like, they just, like, dropped the graphics down, kept the frame rate. Yep. I suck at Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
But it was $2, so I bought it.
Right. Mortal Kombat on the Switch is downscaled, you know, so, like, it doesn't look as good, but the frame rate's crisp.
Yeah. And that's what you need. And
that's the most important thing.
If you press a button, it happens immediately, or, like, you know what you're getting into. And, like, with stuff like that, I'm just concerned.
Even one frame. I actually own two PlayStations, a Pro and an OG, for the events we run, and my girlfriend owns an OG PlayStation that's, I think, an original one. I bought my OG several years after release. I don't think it was actually manufactured when the console first came out.
Right.
I had a friend over a while ago. We tried to play Overwatch side by side in my living room, and he kept mentioning stuff. He was like, man, I swear I'm good at this game. You know, something just doesn't feel right. I'm just, you know, I'm dropping the ball kind of thing. And for the most part, I was like, I believe that you're good, because he plays on Xbox One. So I was like, part of it's probably the controller. Maybe he's on a different TV. Like, maybe the settings aren't where they need to be. I kept trying to check, you know, sometimes, like, game mode on your TV.
Right. Yeah. That'll fuck with you. Yeah.
So I did all that, and it wasn't improving the situation, and he was frustrated. Well, we played something else. Eventually, he goes home. Well, I was like, I'm going to try playing Overwatch on this thing. Dude, it was bad. What it was, the console itself was just dropping inputs.
Yeah.
So there'd be time I needed to turn to the left very quickly, and it didn't register that I pressed left at all. But it was for a very brief time. So it's not that the controller didn't work. I tried different controllers. It wasn't just that game, because I switched games to Apex.
It was just, like, processing too much.
Yes, yeah. Something was happening where it was just skipping. And, you know, I switched TVs. I troubleshooted a lot. But I even plugged in my OG PS4, and it fixed the problem. You know, my OG isn't that fast, but of course my Pro is slow now because I've bogged it down with so much junk on it.
Sure.
And it's getting older too, but the dropped inputs made it unplayable. I mean, straight up unplayable.
I played not the same thing obviously, but I played the first Bayonetta on two Joy-Cons, and good lord, you want to talk about dropping inputs. And that is a very, like, tight action combat game, to where if I miss a dodge, I'm probably just fucking dead.
You're like, oh, great.
It sucks. Glad. And, like, sometimes I would fault. Like, press a button and it would just, like, hold it down when I don't intend on doing it. And that was, I come to find out, it was just the way that the Bluetooth is set up, because, you know, Nintendo's not good at wireless at all.
Right.
But yeah, like, that shit sucks, and I am concerned about, there is nothing about Stadia so far that makes me be like, okay, yeah, this is the place that I want to play this. And, like, ultimately, I am looking at it as somebody who has a console. Like, not everybody's going to have a console, but most people have a fucking phone or a web browser, you know?
Yeah.
And, yeah, like, the appealing thing to me is, of course, oh, well, I'm in the middle of something and I have, like, a controller on me, but I can just fucking bust out my phone, run some dailies in Destiny while I'm waiting for something and then just be on with my day. That is very appealing to me, but not enough to get in on the ground level of this thing.
Right. Yeah, there's a lot unknown. And
too much.
Very close. Yeah,
too
much.
Be comfortable.
I wish anybody had a review where they had hands on it. Or something.
You know? Yeah, they're being like weirdly tight-lipped about it.
They are. So let's finish out this list for games that have already been released that will also be released on Stadia. Let's see. I said Attack on Titan, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, Borderlands 3, The Crew 2.
Mm-hmm.
We've got Destiny 2.
Yes.
We've got Doom 2016.
Okay.
Dragon Ball.
I'll be interested to see how Doom feels. Because that game is very like moment to moment, like
yeah.
Not as like frame perfect, but it's If the feel is off, that game is ruined.
Yeah, because it's all about how you feel when you're
right.
like jumping around,
right.
being cool action. Gonna,
yeah,
cool
if you're not in one, if you're not in control of your character 100% of the time, just flush
forget
it down the
it.
Fucking toilet.
Yeah, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Farming Simulator 19,
okay.
Final Fantasy 15,
okay,
Football Manager 2020,
okay,
Gods and Monsters, Grid. Guilt, G-Y-L-T, which is a possible timed exclusive, according
okay.
to this IGN article. The other timed exclusive is Orcs Must Die 3.
That's right. I forgot they were like, that was a weird pick for me, because I'm like, all right, cool.
That's just an all unusual. Right.
Yeah, that's a weird one.
Yeah.
Like, sure, but that's a weird one.
Yeah. We got Metro Exodus.
Yeah.
We got Mortal Kombat 11. NBA 2K20. Power Rangers Battle for the Grid. Rage
and which is
2?
A fighting game.
Yes, that is a fighting game.
Wait, yeah, I was interested. I'm just repeating my same things. Just keep going.
That's so Rage 2,
okay.
Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yes.
Samurai Showdown, also a fighting game.
Yep.
Super Hot, The Elder Scrolls Online, Thumper, which is very much a rhythm
that's
game.
That's a rhythm game, yeah.
Yeah, so better be tight.
Mm-hmm.
Tomb Raider Definitive Edition, Shadow of the Tomb Raider, Rise of the Tomb Raider.
Okay.
Tom Clancy's The Division 2, Trials Rising, The Crew 2, and Wolfenstein Youngblood. So honestly,
it's not a bad list.
It's
but...
not a bad list. I keep continuing to think about these fighting games. The fact that they put a rhythm game and three fighting games on here, man, I mean, surely they must think they're going to get
it right. It's
either
going to work out really well or just crash and burn.
Yeah,
And I don't know if there's going to be a, it's fine. Because like with those games, I feel like if you are not in complete control of what you're doing, there is no, it's fine. Like it is very binary.
Right. Yeah. The deal with like AAA games is, well, like more modern, like past 5 years, I'd say, is tight controls. Like, it's not even necessarily about, like, how pretty is this game, but a game like Doom and Destiny and even Mortal Kombat, those are gorgeous
I think
games.
Destiny, you can get a little bit away from it. I think all of the Ubisoft games that are on that list, so, like, obviously Assassin's Creed Odyssey works because it doesn't have to be precise. The Division 2 doesn't really have to be precise. Like,
I just imagine your assassin just, like, stumbling, like, oh, fell off this roof.
Right. But no, I think that you can get away from stuff like that, and I think that a lot of the stuff on here does work pretty well on that list in particular would work pretty well without like having a level of precision.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I'm not sold on it. I'm very 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 interested to see how it does, because I think streaming definitely is going to be a big thing that we see a lot more of in the future, and I think this is kind of a neat first foray into it. But I think if I were to right now pick between Stadia, between Microsoft's xCloud, and whatever the fuck Sony's doing with PlayStation Now, I think my money's probably on Microsoft.
Yeah, I don't even have
a
dog in
that fight. And I think, honestly, it's just because of Game Pass.
Yeah.
Because Stadia is still making you, like, purchase the games. And if you want to have it, like, a higher fidelity, you have to purchase a subscription on top of that.
I think even Red Dead, you're paying, like, $60 for that.
Yeah,
right?
It's the game, $60.
It's full price, yeah.
So, I don't know. We'll see. Obviously, like, this is all fucking speculation.
But the fact that we're speculating 2 weeks out is really
That's
the
weird
part.
That's weird.
2 to 6 weeks.
Yeah.
Out. Yeah, it's strange. I will say, I don't know how many people are fully sold on this. There's just not enough to be sold on.
Yeah, I know people online who have been like, yeah, I got a Stadia's Founder thing because I kind of got bought up in the hype, and they just haven't heard anything. And they're like, yeah, I wish I would have waited.
Yeah,
you know,
my friend came over while I was playing Destiny 2 for basically the first time this past weekend. And the first thing he said was, oh man, Destiny 2, this is the first game I'm going to pick up when I get my Stadia.
Right.
And I'm like, first of all, I forgot that you buy games because he just does not play very many games. But that's a testament to what the Stadia can do, because for him, the Stadia offers a type of gaming experience that is unique to his.
You can just fucking pull out your phone with a controller. Like, that's awesome.
Right. He had the same friend had the Google Cardboard.
Okay. I believe. The VR thing.
Yeah, but I think it was Cardboard.
Was it the Google Glass or?
No. I should double check with him, but you would mostly like watch Netflix and stuff.
Like, yeah, like the Google VR thing.
Yeah,
it's called Google Cardboard.
Okay, yeah.
That was it.
Well, he had that, so it makes sense that he would also find interest in Stadia.
Sure.
But that's just another reason why it's interesting that Destiny is free to play now, because this is just an opportunity. Yeah, we can't do cross-play, but...
Well, like, they announced the Shadowkeep expansion, and I think the fact that they were doing all of this new light stuff at a Stadia conference, like, this first, like, big Stadia... whatever they call it, essentially a Stadia Direct. And that was like right before E3. And that's where they announced, like, hey, new Destiny expansion is Shadowkeep. Right. Game is going free to play with cross save enabled. Mm-hmm. Like, that's cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm excited to see how that stuff goes. Games have not been more available, I think, than ever before. I think without a doubt we can say that. Some of the biggest games in the world are free.
That's true. Now.
So
I would say most of the biggest games in the world are free right now.
This is a crazy thought.
It is wild. It is wild. Well, that's going to do it for the show this week. Thank you, everyone, for stopping by. If you like what you've heard, although it was not very structured, but whatever, we're tired. Consider kicking us a buck or five at patreon.com/heroespodcast. That'll help the show and network grow to do even cooler stuff. If you can't contribute financially, that is perfectly fine. Just share the show with a friend or rate and review us on your podcast platform of choice. That really, really helped us out, and we would greatly appreciate it. If you have any questions or ideas for topics for us to cover, hit us up on Twitter at GamerHeroesPod, and your submissions could make the show. You can find me on Twitter at TheCamdyMan. Thomas is at TeganNotSarah1. If you're in the Kansas City area or even just passing through, be sure to check out at GG_Kansas_City on Twitter or the GGKC page on Facebook. We've got links to different gaming events and communities that are in the area, and they would love to have you be a part of them. Thanks, everyone, for tuning in, and I hope you have a great rest of your day and a better tomorrow.